ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment, sounds enchanting. Text number 5. Tathāgito dhamsāma shakta samāvasa dhemanu jai saravāsa kuntha Taskaram mushakhāri viyam uparu jammanā bahirana pachit Vattamando svin adlandi chakama karma di uparata. Manasanu panakam naralukam gandhara nagara upapanhamiti mityadrishti anupashyati. To that household life, Gata, gone, Damsha, gadflies, Masaka, mosquitoes, Sama, equal to, Apasadai, who are low class, Manujai, by men. Shalabha, Lokas, Shakunta, a large bird of prey, Taskara, thieves, Musaka, by rats and so on, Uparu, Jamana, being disturbed, by Hirpana, the external of life here in the form of wealth and so on. Kvachit, sometimes. Parivartamana, wandering. Ashmin, in this. Advani, path of material existence. Avidyakamma, by ignorance and lust, karmabhi, and by fruit of activities, uparakrit manasa, due to the mind being influenced, anupappanatam, in which the desired results are never obtained. Navaloka, this material world, Gandharva Nagaram, a will-o'-the-wisp city, Upapanam, existing, iti, taking it as, Mithya-drishti, he whose vision is mistaken, Anupashyati, observes. Translation. Sometimes, sometimes the conditioned soul in household life being attached to material wealth and possessions is disturbed by gadflies and mosquitoes and sometimes locusts, birds of prey and rats give him trouble. Nonetheless, he still wanders down the path of material existence. Due to ignorance, he becomes lusty and engages in fruitive activity. Because his mind is absorbed in these activities, he sees the material world as permanent, although it is temporary, like a phantasmagoria, a house in the sky. Purport by Divine Grace D.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The following song is sung by Narottam Das Thakur. Pasam kare mata itai padam pasariyam satchere satchakari mani. Due to forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and being puffed up by material possessions, wealth and opulence, one thinks the false temporary material world to be an actual fact. This is the material disease. The living entity is eternal and blissful, but despite material conditions, he thinks the material world to be real and factual due to his ignorance. So here the an explanation, a further explanation of this material world, the nature of the living entity, and how we are entrapped in this material world is being explained. So here is describing family life, and of course there's family life in all species of life. I remember being in Pariyatra in New Zealand with my spiritual master and many different devotees, perhaps 100 different devotees, and we would travel. Each year we would go, one year we would do the North Island, Pariyatra, and at the end we would come back to Auckland for a big Rathyatra festival, so we'd coincide, by that time we could pick up to a couple hundred devotees, and then we'd all converge on this Rathyatra festival in ecstasy. And the next year we would go to South Island and do the same. So go there to the, and we had a bullock cart and a big murti of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, probably as tall as this roof. And we would travel, but then we would stop a couple of miles out of town and then walk into town in procession with a big statue of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the bullock carts, and big harinam like that. And we just camped by a beach or a river with all the devotees, and we would advertise, and then after a few days of advertising, getting our books, we would put on a big festival where people who had some almost never seen devotees would go completely mad, chanting Hare Krishna, literally bouncing off the walls, dancing for hours and hours like that. Anyway, when we were travelling, my spiritual master had a habit of always, you know, if there were, you know, sites to visit, he would always go and visit them. You know, so if we went past the glacier, we would all stop and we'd all go see the glacier like that. The little hot pools, we would all, you know, go and visit the hot pools like that.
So we went to, of course, all sorts of different places. I remember one time at the Hot Pools, somewhere up in North Island. Hare Krishna, disappearing, fading out. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So we were bathing in the hot pools, and you would start at the least hot, dip your toes in, see if you could get in, and then you would fully, these were mud pools, so hot mud coming up in action. Mm-hmm. We were bathing there, and then gradually you would go into the next one because you become accustomed to heat, and then gradually you work your way up to the bulldog, mm-hmm. Which is so hot. Mm-hmm. So if you went there first, you couldn't even touch your toe in there, but after a while you'd go and dip in there. Anyway, I was in the bulldog for a while, and then I went and sat with my spiritual master. I said I was having a talk with some of the locals, some of the Maoris, and I said, what did you used to do with these mud pools, in the old days? And he said, Pakia Buha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Buha is like a natural, sort of like a type of spinach which grows. And Pakia means white meat, specifically human. So they would put the pakia and the puha in the hot pools and cook them up. I was telling that to my spiritual master, and then he wanted to get it out. but anyway, we used to visit everything. So one time we were stopped, we went to see there was just a little sanctuary for birds and animals. And we were watching these, they're like a beautiful parrots, big parrots, beautiful colours. And one was, that there was a couple, it was like a family, and they were just embracing. So they put their heads and just resting their heads on each shoulders and just, just being very affectionate to each other, the husband and the wife, like that. And my spiritual master turned to me and he said, just see, Gambhishvara, every species of life, same thing. And so, you can see, like that. There's every species of life, it's the same thing. Forest of enjoyment. And in the human form of life, although we become very proud that we're very civilized and very advanced in knowledge and all the arts and so many things, still everything is based around the same thing, being in the bodily concept of life and absorbed in the family life. And of course, family life has a lot of difficulty. One can be in 8,400,000 different species of life. So of course we know that on the cold, freezing nights, we see the animals have to, they don't come inside, they have to just be in the trees or hide under a rock or something, and they're always being chased by different predators. They're always looking, who will eat me? So imagine, as you go about your day, and you're thinking, you're wandering around, oh, go to work today, or, you know, go to the temple, but who might eat me on the way? So, but that is their life, very fit. And, you know, quite often they're being chased, and they don't get caught, they might lose a leg or get a bite here and there. You know, if you see the big seals on the beaches, and you know, not to speak of other species trying to eat you, then you've got this constant battle in your own species, because they want to mate, so they want to get a partner and mate, and therefore you know, one animal is thinking, oh, this big seal looks very attractive to me, and, you know, I can hear her singing, it's attracting my mind, or, you know, the ass is thinking like that, or I hear the brain of the she ass. So they go there, and of course, the she ass, thinking, who's this big donkey? You know, I'm not very interested in this. You know, see the big ass, and kicks him in the face. Get out of here, you fool. And, but then, you know, you see many species that literally they have to fight for many days, you know, long, long time. They have to fight the other males in order to, if they lose the battle, then they leave. They leave, because if they don't leave, the next thing is that they'll be killed. And usually they lose the battle because they've been significantly injured. And if they don't leave, then they'll just be finished off, because they're not going to be able to win. And so, you know, just to, you know, for us, of course, as humans, you know, to get the good partner, you usually just have to have the nice hairdo, good pair of shoes, nice car, that'll usually do it. And, you know, sometimes, I used to always know that Brahmacharinis were looking to get married, because what happens, of course, when we live in a temple, we all put on a little weight because of all the nice, you know, opulent foods and what have you. But when when you see someone slimming down all of a sudden, then and usually within some time they do get married. So, you know, we have our ways in the human, you know, it's not as difficult, but still we have to work. We have to work very hard for that nice pair of shoes, for that nice car, and, you know, we have to work very hard to get the things which attract. And, you know, buying clothing these days, people, you know, businesses prey on that. That they know that this is the natural mentality, so therefore they will sell the clothes which are most alluring to the opposite sex, but they're very, very high priced, because if you want to have... So they know that if you're wearing what they wore yesterday and someone's wearing what they're wearing today, that person will stand out for the attention. But to get that, you have to pay some extra, like that. So, in this way, one has to work very, very, very hard in the factories and the offices, and sometimes, you know, we see that the crime rate around the world, that, you know, it is, that people will steal, they will murder, they will rob, you know, to get that money, because if they don't get that money, people are not going to look at them. You know? The opposite sex generally walks in the past, especially in Kali Yuga, because everything is so superficial. People don't have good character in Kali Yuga. So no one's going to be attracted by someone because of their good character, because they don't have that. People are lusty, they're greedy, they're jealous, they're envious, they're impatient, they're intolerant, they're harsh. They have limited ability to talk because they're always on their iPhones. They've lost the ability to communicate. They've lost their ability to actually be aware of other people in their environment who are talking to them. Right? So someone's talking to them, but they're on the phone. They don't even know someone's talking to them. They can live in a house with their family and never have a conversation with anyone. So, you know, that is the nature. So people aren't attracted to them because of their good qualities or what have you. It's how they look, the good look. And they have to, you know, have a certain look. That's so they have to have the special clothes, the special haircut. Mm-hmm. And of course, even these days, you know, the haircut has to stand out. So you can't get the short back and the sides, which is the little Elvis Presley curl at the front anymore. You know, you have to have something that sticks up, that's bright red here, and something like that. But to get that, it's going to cost you a lot of money. And then what happens? Someone thinks, oh, they're giving all the attention. So I better... But then the people at the hairdressers, they know that, so they've got something else that, you know, that's something great, but you have to pay extra for that. So you know, this is, you know, the birds, the peacocks put out their display feathers, and some birds puff themselves up with the red. So, but we do the same thing as humans, because, you know, in Kali Yuga, you know, people understand that mentality and they do business off that, sense gratification. So a lot of money. So what we're doing is literally, there's no difference between, you know, our sort of brightly coloured hair sticking up in all directions and the peacock, you know, showing its plumes of feathers. It's the same thing. It's every species of life. So a lot of trouble. As it's described here, what happens is that what we don't see is that we're suffering and doing the same foolish things that the animals are doing. This is going on in every species of life. You know, even if one is a little snail, you know, a squirmy little yucky snail, it's the same thing. You know, snails, I don't know how they do it, but of course, we do know how they do it. It's a super soul, God in their heart. But on certain nights, you go outside, you won't see one snail. And then on another night, if you go out, every snail, they all come out. They all know it. They all know it. On this night, have you seen them? You've seen them. You've seen them? So I have a spare block next door and we have a lot of gardens, so I always keep an eye on the snails. But sometimes we usually go out with Rooney and we do a snail collection. So we take a bucket, because when you see those lights, we used to go and collect them up and then just put them across the road in the paddocks over there. But we would fill buckets like this, just walk around there one property, just to look. Because they all come out, because they know, the males know, the ladies are out tonight. That's a fact. And the ladies are, you know, men. So they all come out. Oh, then there's going to be, you know, the action is there tonight. But it's the same thing. And they have their little house. But, you know, they become so attached, so these species, they're so attached to their home that literally in that life it is part of them. They're so attached, they want, you know, they when they leave this world, they want the attachment to the home. They will not give up their home, so it actually goes with them everywhere they go. They're sort of part of them, literally part of that home is part of them. So it's the same. It's the same activities that is going on, but that in that body of a snail, or a parrot, or a walrus, or a wolf, is actually a spirit soul, and that spirit soul is full of knowledge. So you have a spirit soul who has full knowledge, and yet it's acting like a donkey, an ass, a dog, because the spirit soul, when it wants to forget reality, then the Lord provides that opportunity. So every spirit soul is eternal, full of bliss, has a spiritual form. We all have a spiritual form that never dies, never gets diseased. And in the spiritual world, we can see the Lord face to face. So that's described in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita 5.7. This is the first verse I've arranged to devote. Mamevamsa jivaloke jivabhuta sanatanaha manaha sastranindriyani prakatisani karasiti. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. And so we are the Lord, the Supreme Lord, expands himself as personal expansions. So those personal expansions, the first personal expansion is who? I'll ask our little pundits up the front there. Who's the first expansion from the Supreme Original Personality of Godhead? Yeah?
Brahma.
Say it again.
Brahma.
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma, yeah, well, you're just a few down the track. You should have been one of the kids over the back. Who else? Who you say? First expansion of Krishna.
Balaram.
Yes. So of course the first expansion of the Lord is Balaram. So the Lord is one. But to expand the unlimited bliss of the spiritual world, he expands into many. So, we know that, you know, that's the reason why we have families in this world as well, and friends. So none of us would like to spend our whole life just sitting on an island by ourselves. Even if you were stuck on an island, you'd probably rather be with the worst enemy than by yourself. Mm-hmm. You'd like to have some company. But so when you've got good friends, you've got a nice mother and father, you know, husband and wife, and uncles and aunties, and so you have your birthday. No one likes to have their birthday by themselves. You have your birthday, so many people come along. And it's fun, a lot of fun like that. So, to expand our happiness, we have many friends and husband, wife, have children, and family. So we have that propensity because we have the same qualities of God because we also, so the Lord expands himself as different personal forms, so they're actually him. But in another body, who has an eternal identity, but is still him. So, because in that way, he can love his devotees, who are the expansions of his, one of his spiritual entities, he can love his devotees in many different forms. So just like Krishna, he has 16,108 wives. So he might, one may think, so many wives, that, you know, I'd like to be with each one and be happy with one in the palace in this way and happy with one in the other. So Krishna expands himself into 16,108 form and expands his happiness because he can be with each of the 16,108 wives at the exact same time, doing different things. So you imagine if you thought, okay, today I have to go to work. Not really particularly happy about work, but while I'll expand myself, go to work, and while I'm doing that, I'll just be out with my friends kicking the ball in the paddock. And while I'm doing that, I'll be with some of my other friends down at the river, having a swim. So, and when Krishna dances with the gopis, he has billions of gopis. Billions. We cannot, it's not possible to count. When he dances with them, he dances with each one, and then he expands in a different form to dance with each gopi. They do many, many different dances with many different gopis. When Krishna sits, he can also stay in the one form. When Krishna sits, he can be in one place, and yet all of his cowherd friends who are enjoying eating with him think that he's just sitting with them, looking at them, talking to them. So that is one way the Lord expands his happiness, is he expands himself. And the first expansion is Balaram. And that is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Then all the other expansions of the Lord come from Balaram. Balaram, of course, appeared, Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Balaram appeared as who? In Chaitanya Leela, there's a pundit at the front here. So, I'm going to give you another chance. Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who did Balaram appear as?
Nityananda Prabhu.
Very good. That's it. So, he appeared as Nityananda. So, Nityananda is Balaram. So, this is mentioned in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Very interesting purpose of the Prabhupada gives. That's text 38 of the 10th chapter. Bhujinam Vasudeva Shri Pandavanam Dhananjaya Muninam Abhyaham Yasa Kavinam Ushana Kavi. Of the descendants of Rishi, I am Vasudev, and of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna, of the sages, I am Yasa, and among the great thinkers, I am Ushana. Purport. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the first form of God is Krishna. He is the beginning of everything. There is nothing before Krishna. He is everything. He is the beginning. The origin of all things. And Baladeva is Krishna's immediate expansion. Both Lord Krishna and Baladeva appeared as sons of Vasudeva, so both of them may be called Vasudeva. So we can also call Balaram Vasudeva because he's also the son of Vasudeva. They had the same father, different mothers, the same father. So, from another point of view, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, all the forms of Krishna that appear elsewhere are his expansions. Vasudev is Krishna's immediate expansion. So Vasudev is not different from Krishna.
It is to be understood that the Vasudeva referred to in this verse of Bhagavad Gita is Baladeva or Balaram, because he is the original source of all incarnations, and thus he is the sole source of Vasudeva. The immediate expansions of the Lord are called Svamsa, personal expansions, and there are also expansions called Vibhinamsa, separated expansions. So, all the forms of the Lord, including Vasudeva Krishna when he is not in Vrindavan, all expand from Balarama, Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda is the source of all incarnations. And so there are many different incarnations, and in that way the Lord expands himself in many different forms, personal forms, so it's the same person, but he can be in many places at once, and he can be in many different, just as he can be in 16,108 different palaces with his queens, he can be in unlimited varieties of Vaikuntha planets. So one Krishna can be in 16,108 palaces, or with his billions of gopis, and that same one Krishna expands, he can be in unlimited Vaikuntha planets with all the different varieties of devotees. So therefore, to expand his bliss, his love, he expands himself, but also he expands as the devotees, who all spirit souls who can become devotees or who are eternally devotees and who love him in different ways. So if one loves the Lord and loves him in a particular mood of Brahmachanda, then they can go to the Vaikuntha planet and love him there. If they love the Lord in the mood of Narasimha, they can go to the Vaikuntha planet where Lord Narasimha Krishna is there in his expansion, and they can love him in that particular way. If they love Krishna in his form of Krishna, but they like to be in Dwarka, then they can go to that part of the local Vrindavan called Mathura or Vrindavan. So there are two types of expansions of God. Personal expansions, Svamsa, I'm going to ask you a question. Yep. And Vibhinamsa, separated expansions. Which ones are we? The personal expansion of God or the separated expansion of God?
Separated.
Good. Excellent. Yeah, separated means that we're not God. He has his own individual identity, personality. He's one person, and yet he has unlimited forms. And in that way, many different eternal identities. But we are separated, means that we are given our own individual existence, separate from God, eternally, as a spirit soul. So we're given this, and that identity, of course, is each spirit soul. Each of us has a unique, eternal ability to increase the bliss of God in a particular way that no other living entity does. It's a nice thought, isn't it? So the variety, there's unlimited variety there. So we're a spirit soul, eternal spirit soul, and we each have that ability to expand the bliss of the Lord, and when we do that, we enjoy that bliss ourselves in cooperation with the Lord. So, the Lord, Balaram, is also known as Sankarshan. And Sankarshan is, again, one of the expansions of the Lord who awards all the spiritual identities, their eternal individuality. He's the predominating deity of the sense of identity. In the material world, when we come to this material world, we get a false identity. Oh, I am this body. And Santishan expands as Mahavishnu, and from Mahavishnu we get all the demigods, including Durga, Brahma, and Shiva. So Shiva and Durga, they give us our material identity. That's why Lord Shiva is covered with the different serpents. Have you seen the picture of Shiva? He has the different nagas. Because when he goes into meditation, he meditates upon Sankarshan. And one of the forms of Sankarshan is also Nagasesan, who appears like the serpent. So if we worship, if one worships Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva can remove our material identity. How does he get the ability to do that? He can only do that by getting the being empowered to do that by Sankarshan. So Lord Shiva meditates upon Sankarshan, and if we worship Shiva over many lifetimes, we may gradually come to the point where we realize I am a spirit soul. If we realize we're a spirit soul, we will then worship Sankarshan or the Vishnu Tattva in his different forms. Narayana, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, one of the different avatars, Narasimha. And then, as a spirit soul, we can actually understand I'm not just an impersonal spirit, I'm actually a particular individual. And if we engage in devotional service, we realize our eternal, which particular individual I am. Gradually. We gradually reveal our own individual spiritual nature, eventually even our spiritual form, and as it states in the Bhagavad Gita. So, in other words, by worshipping Lord Nityananda, especially, because Lord Nityananda is Sankarshan, who has awarded us in originally our eternal spiritual identities, that Lord Nityananda, if you worship him, you don't have to go through the slow process of worshipping Shiva and gradually coming to this level and that level. You can just go straight to Lord Nityananda and he will bring you to the point immediately where you can understand, kick off this material, you know, false identification that I am this body, which gives me so much trouble, like the animals searching after illusory, you know, connections in this world. Kick that off and enjoy the transcendental platform that I am a humble Namasmi, I am the eternal servant of the personality of Godhead. Lord Nityananda will very quickly bring us to that point. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, there's this very nice, we'll go back to 15:7, says, according to the Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, of which the primary expansions are called Vishnu-tattva, and the secondary expansions are called the living entities. In other words, the Vishnu-tattva is the personal expansion, and the living entities are the separated expansions. By his personal expansion, he manifests in various forms like Rama, Shuma, Vishnu-murti, and all the predominating deities in the Vaikuntha planets. The separated expansions, the living entities, are eternally servitors. The personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual identities of Godhead, are always present. Assembly, the separated expansions of living entities have their identities. As fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the living entities have fragmental portions of his qualities, of which independence is one. Every living entity, as an individual soul, has its personal individuality and a minute form of independence. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul, and by proper use of the independence, he is always liberated. In his conditioned life, he is dominated by the mode of material nature and he gets transcendental loving service of the Lord. So, as we described in this purport today that we're reading, due to forgetting Lord Nityananda and being puffed up by material possessions of wealth and opulence, one thinks the false temporary material world to be actual fact. So we forget two things. We forget our eternal identity as the spirit soul, part and parcel of the Lord, and we forget our eternal loving relationship with the Supreme Lord in any of his different expansions. In other words, we forget the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, and forgetting the spiritual reality, the blissful spiritual reality, we become absorbed and puffed up with our opulence and wealth and possessions. So the as described, you know, when the walrus defeats all the other walruses and has a herd of females, he becomes puffed up. Look at me, spread all across the beach. This is my domain. This, you know, frozen part of the world, as I, you know, charge across the stony, you know, rubbly ground, you know, on my belly, I am so powerful. And here, all the, you know, wonderful, you know, females that are, you know, and I am the lord of everything, like that. And each species, they're like that, you know. They roar, sometimes, you know, loudly. And people can, you know, other animals hear them. Oh, there's the king of the beasts over there, you know, standing so powerful. He's the Lord, he's the Lord. So we get puffed up. Even, and in human form, we do the same thing. We get in our car. We could drive up the street at 40 kilometres an hour, if there's a 40 kilometre, you know, but we could drive up the street at 100 kilometres, roaring our car, just in case there's some nice damsels there who may want to look, oh, you know, what have you got under the hood there? Roaring like a, you know, giant walrus. It is the same thing. So, therefore, Prabhupada says the living entities in this purport, 15.7, the living entities, not only human beings and the cats and dogs, but even the greater controllers in the material world, Brahma, Shiva, and even Vishnu, are all parts and parcels of the Lord. Now, he quotes this verse from the Shruti, and it says, it is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body, and in his spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face, and he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. From Smriti also it is understood, in the spiritual planet, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there is no difference between the part and parcel of living entities and the expansions of Vishnu Murti. In other words, at liberation,
the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we forget that. We forget that and become absorbed in the material body with all its problems, forgetting that we have an eternal spiritual body waiting to manifest in the spiritual world, expanding from the spirit soul, and enjoy these loving pastimes with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the nature of material desire, as soon as we have a material desires, it will drag our consciousness from whatever lofty heights we may have attained. And as soon as we have lusty desires, it immediately concretes our consciousness within the bodily conception of life. That I am the enjoyer of the objects of the senses manifested by the material energy, and I am the enjoyer of the objects of the senses with the senses of this body, and that I am the lord of this material energy. I shall control the material energy and enjoy the material energy, and with that, we are, as soon as we accept the dictations of the material mind and body, we are immediately covered by ignorance. That in any way it is not the Lord is the enjoyer and the controller of the material energy, and we don't become. We feel that Ishvara, sometimes the spirit soul is described as Ishvara, because we can, you know, decide to try and enjoy the material world in a particular mode of material nature. But ultimately it is illusion, and we only end up being the servants of the senses, who are very, very harsh masters. The mind and the senses will cause unlimited havoc and pain and suffering life after life. They don't care, the senses do not care how well you have served them. The mind does not care. You can serve them for millions and billions and billions of lifetimes. You can come into different universes and stay within those universes for the time of Lord Brahma and go into another universe, and the senses will still say, no, I'm not satisfied. And so you must suffer more. Whereas, Lord Nityananda, you say, Lord Nityananda, what service can I offer you? I have no qualification. I have no abilities. But although I can't serve you, I have no qualification, I'll just try and do what little I can. And Lord Nityananda said, for that, I am taking you back to the spiritual world. So, in fact, Lord Nityananda, he's not waiting for us to say, oh, I will, maybe I would like to try and serve. No, he can bang it on the door. And he does that through his devotees. He'll do it personally when he's here. And he also does it personally, but through his devotees. He sends them. On my behalf, Lord Nityananda says, you go door to door, every town and village, you knock on their door. Please, sir, chant Hare Krishna. And so he doesn't even wait. So even to the most simple persons, Lord Nityananda, you knock on everyone's door. You don't discriminate that, oh, these are the wealthy people, these are the poor people, these are the pious people. I remember one time in doing Sankirtan, we used to just go everywhere. If there was a person there, we went there, tried to sell them something to liberate Lakshmi, get a little facility for distributing Prabhupada's books and prasad and putting on festivals, making.
So if there was something open, we just went there. And if there was a marathon on, and you'd gone to every other place, whatever's left open, you've got to go there, because not only are you doing the marathon, but you're enjoying the bliss of competing with your club brothers and sisters. So anyway, I was with, I used to do Sankirtan with Ganesh, who was a Prabhupada disciple. And I went into this place where they, it was a chicken factory where they, you know, they killed chickens and, you know, send them to the supermarket and buy some food. And so I was standing there, not, you know, people were, you know, we literally, in those days, we just went right into the factory. So the only person I could get to talk to me was this person on the belt. On the belt was all the chickens hanging upside down. And this person's job, yes, it was not very long, but as they come past, he just chopped their head off, and next one chopped that. That was his job all day long, right? He's the Prabhupada disciple next to me said, my spiritual master didn't ask me to do this. And he left. Anyway, I thought, if this poor, wretched person would buy something, give a little something to Lord Nityananda, Chaitanya Prabhu, that would be wonderful. What an existence. What would be his future? He'll be a chicken. He'll end up on that belt his next life, coming life after life. So he bought something. He bought something. I was really happy. I didn't care about the money. I was really happy that he bought it. He did something. Lord Nityananda will never forget that. So, Lord Nityananda, so who can, you know, that love of the Lord, we cannot imagine. That he is, he's not waiting for people to. He is saying, no, let's go out and find them. That's, you know, it doesn't matter, sinful, pious, anyone. If you can find that they will, in the slightest way, engage in the service of Krishna, somehow or another, you give them that mercy of Lord Nityananda, because he is ready to give them that mercy. So because they've forgotten this mercy of Lord Nityananda, and they're puffed up with material life, therefore, they are in this illusion and have lost all sight of reality. So I'll leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
Thank you very much for a very nice class. How does Lord Shiva remove the ignorance of him?
He has spiritual instructions, and gradually through the spiritual instructions, he will also take people from the lowest, you know, tamaguna, yeah. And gradually, life after life, he will gradually bring them through spiritual instructions to the point. So, Sankaracharya was an expansion of Lord Shiva. Yeah. So, you know, in different ways, he gives spiritual instructions about the you know, coming to the level of the spirit soul. And he gives them his blessings and what have you, and he will bring them to that level. But from that point then, if you get his mercy, then he will direct you to the Vaishnavas. Lord Nityananda represents Guru Tattva or Vaishnava Tattva. So after understanding, even if one understands one's a spirit soul, one has to go to Lord Nityananda, either direct, you know, because we can't directly go there, but the spiritual master is considered the direct manifestation of Lord Nityananda's mercy. So we approach the spiritual master, and if we're not on that level, you know, the devotees will gradually, you know, by associating with the Vaishnavas. So Lord Nityananda is also Vaishnava Tattva. He represents the Vaishnava. And gradually, by coming to the Vaishnavas and taking seriously their association, and one can then take show of the spiritual master. And then the spiritual master, who represents Lord Nityananda will explain how we are the eternal servant of the personality of Godhead. If we get Lord Nityananda's blessings, or the spiritual master and the Vaishnava's blessings, then we get Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's blessings. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's in the mood of Srimati Radharani, then Radharani will give her blessings, and then we get these spiritual teachings from the spiritual master about the different, very elevated understandings of rasa, and or the mellows of love of God. So we come to the slow process through Lord Shiva, or just Lord Nityananda, as we say, Lord Nityananda is saying, just in Kali Yuga, don't bother, I'm banging on your door, just take notice of me. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? In Kali Yuga, if people don't take the opportunity of associating with the shelter of Lord Nityananda by associating with the devotees and the spiritual master, practically there's no real hope. The slow process doesn't work in Kali Yuga. One just becomes confused and bewildered. In fact, that slow process can quite often turn people to atheism. If people follow the process of gradually coming to the impersonal understanding of Brahman, quite often they will become somewhat atheistic in their attitude, because it's so, there's nothing attractive about it.
My bad.
Yeah, there's no, and you know, there's no description of the spiritual world and the wonderful spiritual forms that we have in the spiritual world. So it's so unappealing that it actually diverts people's attention back to this material world. All right, then. Any other questions, comments? Jai. Hare Krishna.